In May of 2021, I was listening to an episode of the Wild at Heart podcast just as our world was awakening from the long winter of pandemic. After being pent up for over a year, the summer of 2021 was set to explode like the Oklahoma land rush of 1893. Families were on the verge of being on the road again, in the air again, on the go again, with this burning desire to make up for lost time. Wild at Heart host John Eldridge was encouraging everyone to come up with a summer recovery plan when he said, "Don't reinvent the wheel. Come back to the places you know bring life. Your recovery plan should not feel like pressure." The central thought of that counsel tolled like a bell in my inner sanctuary. Come back to the places you know bring life. I was enthralled, lost in wonder. Just contemplating such places stirred life. And I made an amazing discovery. My life has been flush with such places. What about yours?
The blue skies, the glory of your faces. You are a part of this kingdom and creation. Scatter my ashes in beautiful places.
Well, there you are, and welcome to Redemption's Table, I'm Robert Barge, your host. I am so excited about today's episode. We have some very special guests today. Can't wait for you to hear them. And we just listened to a song by a singer-songwriter I have been wanting to bring to the table for a long, long time, Andrew Osinga. When I first heard Andrew sing this song back in 2019, when I experienced Andrew Peterson's Behold the Lamb of God for the first time, I immediately loved it. Been intending to email Andrew Osinga for permission to share this song, and I finally had the opportunity to ask him in person at a retreat I attended earlier this month. He graciously said yes. You'll be hearing more of Andrew's music in the coming months, and he and I will be talking about the Beatitudes in an upcoming episode this spring. So welcome, Andy Osinga. Beautiful Places can be found on his 2018 album, The Painted Desert. It's a great album. I encourage you to go check out more of Osinga's music wherever you stream. Sometimes I get the question, why do you do a podcast, Robert? Sometimes I'm the one asking myself that question. And today's episode could be Exhibit A as to why I do a podcast, or as to why any podcast exists. You heard the opening story. I was listening to a podcast 4 years ago when John Eldridge made a statement that contained a single sentence that fired across the bow of the synapses of my brain and lit me up. Come back to the places you know bring life. That statement got incorporated into my spiritual disciplines and is still inspiring me today. If you were to walk into the den of my house right now, you would find 12 sheets of paper in a circle around a small statue of a praying man, all very symbolic. Those 12 sheets of paper are the next 12 months. And whenever I fill out a blank calendar, I write two sentences on it, one of which is, come back to the places you know bring life. It's a constant reminder to me to seek certain places that have awakened and reawakened and brought deep sustenance and joy and wonder and curiosity into my life. And this past week, I made another discovery. Not only does that statement resonate with me, it resonates with a lot of us. I reached out to several dear friends and family members who I thought might appreciate that question, and I was delighted by their responses. First, here's one of my favorite voices, my daughter, Lauren Myers, Barge Barge, to her friends.
Where are the places that bring you life? Outside in nature is key. The beach is my favorite place ever to be. The desert is a close second. But when you sent this prompt, you said that you write a quote at the top of every month of your calendar. I'm going to butcher it, but something like, return to the places that you know give you life. And I live in the suburbs of Dallas, so I can't just go to the beach whenever I want to. I can't go to the desert. Like when we lived in Marfa on the edge of town, I would walk to my little corner of the desert every single day. But now that I can't do that, I was trying to think of an answer that is accessible to me. And one that came to mind is a creek. I don't know what it is about a creek, but there's something magical at a creek. I don't know if it's just that there's running water, if it's that you can always find one and you kind of like feel like you're discovering something. I think a big part of it is actually that I have all of these childhood memories of creeks. I remember going and spending the weekend with Tracy, and she lived at Olympia Crossing, so we would go swimming in the creek there. I remember going out to the resort. My friend Jan lived out there. And there was a creek out there. I remember coming home with tadpoles on one of those trips. I remember going with the Brewers to Elephant Mountain and playing in the creek there. I remember us taking hiking and camping trips all the time. And my favorite part of any hike was if we came across water. So maybe it's just that it takes me back to childhood. I've taken the boys to a couple of creeks, and yeah, I just feel like I turn into a kid again. We actually went this summer with Chase's brother and his two kids. So there were four kids, and I'm the reason that they all ended up in the water. You know, I was the first one to take my shoes off. So maybe having life or something giving me life is something I equate to feeling like a kid again. And maybe that's because I think we get so far from who we were meant to be as adults, with, you know, problems and lives and busyness and responsibilities, that it's very easy to lose like childhood wonder and joy. But something about a creek gives it back to me. I think I've said too much, but yeah, return to the places that give you life. I will always go back to the beach. I will always go back to the desert. And if I'm in the suburbs and I just really need to find that fix, I'll find a creek somewhere.
I love Lauren's idea that if you can't always be at one of your life-giving places like the desert or the beach, just look a little closer to home. You can find a creek. Next, here are two of my all-time favorite people. I had the joy to be at their wedding 2 years ago, my nephew, Andrew Barge, and his lovely bride, Diana. Ladies first.
I actually had a hard time answering this question because my immediate thoughts went to being out in nature, because I'm always so drawn to the beauty and the majesty of the outdoors. And Andrew and I, Andrew once told me earlier on when we were dating, that nature was his church, or a place that he could connect with God. And we've just had so many adventures and challenges and meaningful memories in the outdoors. And a big part of our relationship was actually bonding through outdoor adventures. So much so that we actually got married in Sequoia National Park because of our memories there, as Robert knows. But still, when I was thinking of places that bring life, I was kind of stuck. And I realized it's because I've just been existing without even being aware. So even thinking of the answer to this question, I knew that meant I had to actually find life. So answering this question brought me life. So I was thinking, where should I go to get life right now? And I ended up going for a walk to reflect. So I think actually one metaphorical place I have to go first is, I guess, my own mind and my own consciousness. And I feel like I get so busy dealing with life and immediate stressors that it's easy to just exist and not be grateful for everything that I have, or even not address some things I need to deal with. So being at a place of introspection, whether it's stopping to be grateful or thinking through deeper problems, brings me life, because I'm just so much more aware and truly awake or alive, instead of just kind of going through the motions of life. And then in continuing to think of my answer to this, I try to figure out where I have felt the most alive in my life. And I can't think of a physical location, but I think the answer is always in any place where I'm with people, where I'm sharing a moment, a dream, a fear, laughing with people, and I feel connected to them. It can be one-on-one a lot, especially because I'm kind of introverted. But I think that community is just so life-giving, because you're sharing moments with people, you're laughing together, you're helping each other. You're helping each other through the good, you're celebrating through the good times, you're helping each other through the bad times. And there's just so much more joy and peace in life in community. So yeah, that's my answer.
The places that bring life are different for everyone, but for me, they are spaces where wisdom, kindness, and love is. Life is full of frenzy and nonstop action, and it's the quiet moments when we make those spaces for ourselves that questions like this are best answered. It is nature that often reminds me of how small yet connected we are, whether it is under a vast night sky filled with stars, rhythm of the ocean, or the stillness of a forest. It is meaningful conversations that connections affords, minds meet, and understanding grows. It is in moments of creativity and problem solving, whether building with my hands or figuring out a complex system, that I am reminded of the process of making and improving life. It is places of history and knowledge, like visiting other countries and libraries, where the past whispers wisdom to the present. I think that the most important one is in laughter and love with family, with friends, and in places where kindness is given freely and received without condition. I think that when we lose kindness, we also lose a sense of happiness and wonder in us that inspires us to be our best selves. So I often seek places to inspire and remind me of the best way forward.
Wow, and wow. What Diana said about Andrew reminded me of the great naturalist John Muir. Muir wrote, "I'd rather be in the mountains thinking of God than in church thinking about the mountains." The first time I walked into a sequoia grove in Kings Canyon National Park was like walking into a cathedral. And I just got to say, all three of y'all, Andrew, Diana, Lauren, y'all could be writing essays because you are all so gifted at putting thoughts into words. And now the final voice we'll hear. He's not family, but it's pretty close. He and his wife, Joy, were our next-door neighbors 40 years ago when we lived in Fort Worth, Texas. My good friend, Clark Cothern.
You know, when I start thinking about a place that brings life, especially when I go back to it, I think of the Southwest, because I grew up in Arizona, and my dad took my sister and my family and I camping. We would camp in tents in Arizona and especially Colorado. Man, I loved Colorado, especially southwestern Colorado. I remember one very memorable trip when I was about 9 or 10, and we went on the narrow gauge train ride from Durango, Colorado, up into the mountains to Silverton. That stuck with me. It stuck with me so much that after my wife and I had moved to Michigan, where we were ministering, we were there for a total of 36 and a half years, we took our kids back to Colorado so that we could, in fact, ride that same train ride and recreate some of those steps, because it just put a lot of life back into our lives. Little did we know that after 22 years of serving in the last church we served near Ann Arbor in Michigan, God would call us back to, are you ready for it? Drum roll, please, southwestern Colorado. We now actually live 40 minutes from the train station, so we can get on that train and ride it right up through the mountains next to the Animas River to Silverton, Colorado. And so our lives are filled with life right now. I just preached a message recently about how Jesus stood up in the last day of the Feast of Booths in Jerusalem and said, anyone who wants that living water that I can give freely, you can come to me. And he was referring to the Holy Spirit. And when I think about coming out here where we're reminded of God's grandeur and his living water, man, I'm just filled to overflowing with that. And I'm so grateful that every time I look into God's word, that brings me life too, because that living water, the Holy Spirit, brings those words to life. So much so that I am becoming sort of like an artesian well. And I can pour out some of that life to others, I pray. And I'm so grateful that God called us all the way back here to a place that continues to give us life.
Well, Clark, God willing, I'll be seeing you and Joy right after Thanksgiving as I go on my annual hiking trip into Utah this year. So what about you? Where are the places that bring you life? As we have heard, that question is worth considering. I could riff on that question for several episodes, and who knows, I just might in the days and months ahead. That question yields categories in my mind. I thought of quiet places and wild places and curious places and holy places. And within each of those kind of places, I thought of thin places. Thin places. According to Dr. Mark D. Roberts, a thin place is a place where the boundary between heaven and earth is especially thin. It's a place where we can sense the divine more readily. I think of the biblical passage in 1 Corinthians 13 where the Apostle Paul describes what we see as we look from earth to heaven. He says, we see through a glass darkly. And I don't know why, but it seems at times my face is pressed into that glass like a hungry toddler espying a chocolate eclair. Something wonderful is just on the other side of that glass. And you know what? It's permeating that wonder on this side of the glass as well. Such thin places bring me life. Thin places cannot be mapped. They are, but they are not predictable. They can be remembered. They cannot be charted. You can return to them physically, even mentally, and the memory of life you experienced there still lingers, perhaps not as fully as when you were first surprised there, but one should not expect a repeat performance because thin places cannot be coerced. They're still out there, and we will find them again in new places as our faith in God and our faith in Jesus beckons us onward. So where are the places that bring you life? Well, you are encouraged to go for a walk. Get outside. Seek and find where God is waiting around the corner to say hello. Until next time.
I want you to find your own sacred spaces, where you go when you need to remember what truth and freedom and grace is. Grab some life insurance money, call your sisters and cross things off the list.